section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Is Sin Cara back? Gimmick matches on Impact, and is Hogan returning at WrestleMania 30? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Battleground drew disappointing pay-per-view numbers. So how low were they, Aaron?
They were a lot lower than expected. And of course, they're blaming it on the lack of star power. In particular, they, of course, are talking about Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. But let's talk about some of the bigger matches that were there. You had RVD versus Alberto Del Rio, Punk versus Ryback, and Bryan versus Orton, which was the main event. Now, let's just dissect those real quick. You know, RVD, ADR, okay, pretty decent match for the World Heavyweight title. First match on the card, I don't know. But Punk Ryback, this is a SmackDown match. This is not a pay-per-view match. You do not pay to see these two wrestle each other. And I understand, yeah, Paul Heyman was in the match, but it wasn't Punk versus Heyman, okay? It was Punk versus Ryback. So kind of dumb. And then Bryan and Orton, even though you don't know what the outcome of it's going to be, it ended in a no contest. No contest. So the people who bought the pay-per-view, they got gypped. Plain and simple. They got gypped. So I did not like that at all. And it does not surprise me that that one was low. In fact, I expect the next few pay-per-views to be pretty low, with the exception of TLC. I think TLC will actually probably be one of the biggest draws this year.
Was Battleground the pay-per-view where people got refunds?
It was the pay-per-view before that one. Gotcha. I think it was Night of Champions.
Okay. Yeah, because the fact that the Bryan Orton match went to a no contest just, I think, made a lot of people upset. Because you're like, okay, this should be the payoff. And what is the payoff going to be? Oh, it's this.
And you know, do you know if they still include numbers in there from people who buy the pay-per-view after the fact?
I think they do. Because you have the pay-per-view, of course, it runs on Sunday. And then I think the replays are on Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then I think they might do one maybe on Saturday, something like that. But yeah, they do run it a couple of times.
So
will be included.
Well, then if that's the case, let me just say this much. If you had a friend who bought the pay-per-view, let's say, or, you know, you wanted to see it, and then you find out on Raw that the match ended in a no contest, you're going to say, why would I bother? Because that's going to be, look, let's just talk about the main event. You find out about that, I'm not going to buy it.
No.
And you could say, what if you found out Bryan won? Well, what if I want to see how he won? You know, what if I want to see like a wrestling classic? What if they say, and this was something that you cannot miss? Maybe I do want to see it. So it really does not surprise me that that one didn't draw as well. Now they're going to talk about Cena versus Orton, and that one's going to draw pretty well. But it's not because those two are wrestling. It's because of what's at stake. And if by chance, you know, they actually do unify the titles, then I think that people, they're going to want to see that, and they may want to see the replay. So I think that one will be different.
Yeah,
We'll talk about that in a little bit, because
I can go in really in depth on this. Let's talk about Hogan possibly teaming with John Cena at WrestleMania 30. Now, Hogan's a little bit up there in age, but do you think that this could make it where people would be like, you know what, WrestleMania 30, Hogan's wrestling? I got to get in on that. When do you start promoting this? Do you do that in January or do you do it in February before Elimination Chamber? Or do you announce it at Royal Rumble? Because if you announce it at Royal Rumble, I believe that people will be like, Hogan's wrestling. He's going to go on every single talk show you can think of. And I believe that even though he would probably only wrestle for a total of 1 minute and John Cena will take the full 15 minutes, it's just one of those things. He comes out for a huge pop. Do you think that he will wrestle with Cena in a tag team against Orton and some random guy?
I actually don't think you have him against Orton and some random guy. I think that you want to make this a really big draw. I say you have him take on the real Americans. Think about that. You have basically like a gauntlet match with tag teams and have the real Americans win. I think that actually would be a bigger selling point personally. And Hogan and Cena teaming up, the buy rates for that alone will be through the roof. Hogan doesn't have to be in there that long. Like you said, he'll be in there for a minute. That match will last a maximum of 10 minutes, probably. John Cena doing all the work. But think of the finish. Hogan gives Jack Swagger the boot. And so, what
You forgot Cena gets the hot tag.
No. So here's what happens. Hogan gives Swagger the boot.
Uh-huh.
Swagger staggers into John Cena's arms. He gives him the attitude adjustment. Hogan delivers the leg drop. 1, 2, 3. That is the ending.
Well, can we copyright that before WWE steals our idea? Because that's what's going to happen.
I actually think this would be a big moneymaker. I am in favor of this from a business standpoint. From a fan standpoint, it's nostalgia, but I mean, it's not going to be a triple A match. It's going to be a 1/4 star match, you know, plain and simple. But
negative, you mean? Cool. Negative 1.25 stars?
Well, Hogan will be 1/8 of the stars, and he'll be the other 8.
Nah, this is one of those weird, like I said, this is one of those situations you could go any way right now. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to be doing this. And I really hope Hogan does come back, you know, especially for WrestleMania 30.
Are you in favor of that, though? Are you in favor of Hogan and Cena teaming up?
Yes.
Would you rather see that than Hogan taking on Cena?
Oh, yeah. Well, because if it was 10 years ago with Hogan, maybe 15 years ago. Yes. Definitely yes. It's like I would love to see Hogan, you know, versus Sting versus John Cena versus Undertaker or versus Stone Cold, you know, versus CM Punk. Have those five guys in a match. And I think it would be phenomenal. But
yeah,
got to get to reality. It can't happen unless you play WrestleMania 2K14. So Sin Cara is done, as in Mystico. Mystico was actually under the mask. He was Sin Cara for a while. And then we knew that Hunico, I think his name is, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. He played Sin Cara, and he was the fake Sin Cara at one point.
Yeah.
Well, Mystico apparently has a big head, and he has been sent home, and he was in Mexico at the gym when Sin Cara appeared on WWE TV. Now, my first thought was, hey, when did he get all that ink? Because I thought Hunico had a similar thing, and I was like, oh, crap. Don't tell me Hunico's playing him. And merchandise, that's all it is. If the merch sells and you could interchange that character, that's great. But supposedly, don't quote us on this, but supposedly they're going to bring another person who is about the same size. I can't think of his name off the top of my head now, but he's been down at NXT for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes and starts doing the Sin Cara character because he's about the same height and he has no tattoos.
Well, you know, I mean, that's possible. The only thing is I don't want them to retcon that and have all of a sudden Sin Cara come back. Hey, I noticed now he doesn't have any tattoos. That's kind of interesting. But I think I had said before that the Sin Cara character, I believe it was him who I quoted specifically, was that they're going to have this guy be around for 20 years plus, because all they have to do is just have a different person under the mask. And you get somebody in there at 18 and they can do it till they're 38 and, you know, just, you know, go to work on their knees pretty much. And, they'll be fine. And they're going to do that for a pretty long time. And this is just a good example, because Sin Cara as a character, I mean, he doesn't show emotion. He doesn't talk. There's the only thing about him is the wrestling. So you're there for that spectacle. You're not there to be entertained by a great promo or, you know, really awesome gimmick or, you know, anything flashy like that. It is all about the wrestling, which I'm okay with. I'm totally okay with. They also do need a Cruiserweight title, though, to really showcase that person, though.
Let's just point this out. Doink the Clown. How many people played him?
Yeah.
Lots absolutely. Of people. So you can do the same thing with Sin Cara. Of course, once his merchandise sales stop, then you will see Hunico back. So let's move on to WWE programming for this week. So Daniel Bryan is taking on the Wyatts. Of course, he was left, I think, in a parking lot somewhere, if I'm correct. This storyline is
some kidnapping gimmick with him. Yeah.
This storyline is stupid. So he's taking on the Wyatts, and Punk is taking on the Shield. Now, I don't get the fact. What is the point of doing these matches? I mean, realistically, what is the point? You know, 3-on-1. I don't get it.
We're going to have a 3-on-1 match is typically a Raw thing. You know, you see it on Raw. We're going to punish you, so we're going to have you do 3-on-1. a pay-per-view match is something you are paying to see the match for. And I'm not going to lie. $50? I am not going to pay $50 to see Daniel Bryan taking on Wyatt or CM Punk to take on The Shield. No way. If you're getting my $50, it's going to be for Cena and Orton right now. Now, if you had Punk and Bryan teaming up against The Shield this you know, pay-per-view as opposed to the Wyatt's the last one, yeah, then I would be more inclined to. But right now, it's kind of like, eh. I think that this is a really bad storyline for them, and I really think that Bryan and Punk are kind of in that limbo stage where they need to get elevated up and be in number one contenders matches for the world WWE title, whatever the unified, whatever they're going to call that stupid thing. So that's what I think they need to do.
Wait, so you didn't vote on the WWE app on Monday night?
Yeah, I like how they do that and they do it live. Yet if you're on the West Coast, it's not live. It's all predetermined. So why in the world would I do that?
See, that's
so Andy.
Yeah.
The IC title is actually being treated like a real championship. They even had a number one contenders match with Dolph Ziggler taking on Damian Sandow. Do you think they're actually going to move the IC title to be up here as opposed to, you know, down where it was?
Here's my problem. They pretty much announced that that Sandow's going to win the IC title. It kind of ticks me off because there was something that Lawler said something about that Sandow era has begun or some crap like that. That usually says that he's going to win. And it's kind of upsetting to me.
So you think that Sandow is going to win?
Unfortunately.
I disagree wholeheartedly. They just took the title off of Curtis Axel. You think that Big E they're going to treat him like a transitional champion?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. I would not be surprised about that. And the sad thing is, you know, John Cena is a huge supporter of Big E, and there's a lot of other people that are big supporters of Big E. So I'm wondering, to get more heat, do you have him lose the title so fast? They're probably going to do it that way, which is sad because he should.
I think that'd be a bad idea. I have no problem with Sandow winning the title. I just don't think that Big E should lose it after winning it, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. I think that'd be a really bad move. It's WWE, so it'll probably happen. But I think that could be a bad move. I do want to just talk about, though, number one contenders match. That is very, very smart. And I hope they continue down that path, you know, do a fatal four way, you know, have these types of things that you can have at pay-per-views, too. That's the other thing, too. At TLC would be a perfect time, as opposed to have two handicap matches. Why don't you have a match where four corners, the winner's going to get a shot at the IC title. The winner's going to get a shot at Daniel Bryan or at a John Cena or Randy Orton, you know? Why not do that?
Here's the one thing that I do have a problem with this match. I really wish that they would have been Big E versus Sandow versus Ziggler. I think the match would be a lot better if it was at least a three-way.
Well, you know, you don't want to do... You don't
have to. That's why I don't like the three-on-one matches. And also, are the three-on-one matches, are they tag matches or is it just three-on-one?
I think it's tag. But
if it's tag, then it's stupid.
Either way, let's get into the biggest news of the week, though, Andy. John Cena versus Randy Orton for the Unified Championship.
Why do they have to call it that? Because, you know, that's what they're going to call. They're like, oh, we were going to decide to call it the WWE Championship. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you're going to call it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
You know what? I'm just going to call what this is going to what's going to happen. Cena's going to go up, grab the belt. He's going to get knocked down, and then Orton's going to see, oh, crap, my belt's up there. He's going to run up there, get his belt, and then they're going to fight over the other belt on the ground, and then they're just going to get separated, and then at Royal Rumble, they're really going to have them unified. And then people are going to want refunds. It's going to be one of those things like that's happened with Shane Douglas. A lot of those shows that he's done, everyone starts chanting refunds. And I would not be surprised if people at Raw did that. At TLC, because they did. WWE's in big trouble. Big trouble.
I want to say, I think ever since SummerSlam, there has not been a good finish to a pay-per-view.
You know why? Because the main rider went to Arsenio Hall, and he's there basically having the time of his life because he doesn't have to deal with basically a control freak being Vince. Nothing against Vince, but that's the truth.
And SummerSlam's ending was not bad. I think that Bryan should have kicked out of the pedigree because he had been laying down there for so long. But then, you know, you RKO him and then, you know, call it a day. But that's beside the point. SummerSlam, not bad. But every pay-per-view, there's been four or five pay-per-views since, and they've all been terrible. And I really feel that if this one is just as bad, it really makes you wonder, these off pay-per-views, why would I want to buy them? Instead, I want to stick to three, maybe four pay-per-views. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, probably Money in the Bank, you know, and then potentially one in between. But you know what? All these other ones have been crap. They really have been. So if they do a tomfoolery like finish, then yes, I will be a little upset about it. I'll be a little peeved by it.
Yeah, I understand completely. So let's move on and thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. Also, check out Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you're going to find a nice banner for WWEShot.com. They're going to have multiple different coupon codes you can use. Remember what that coupon code is? Click on the banner and buy some good merch from WWEShop.com. And by the way, the holidays are just around the corner, so they got some awesome title belts as well. And they may have a third one if they unify them, so check that out. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Jeff Hardy takes on Bobby Roode in a tables match. Yeah. What'd you think about this?
Well, so Jeff Hardy beats Bobby Roode. And he's advancing now to the final. So, he's going to take on the winner of the next match. It's almost kind of predictable. Jeff Hardy is such a fan favorite. I think this might have been a better opportunity to have Bobby Roode win and have him, you know, just push Jeff Hardy off, you know, kind of in a similar way to how Sheamus won the WWE title. You know, he pushed John Cena off of the top rope through a table. Mm-hmm. It was really like kind of really. That's how he became champion kind of way. But I think that might have been a better idea. But Bobby Roode, I don't know. I think he's a much better heel. I think he's a stronger character than Jeff Hardy. And I think I would much rather have seen him in the finals.
I wish that what would happen is Bobby Roode would have actually gone through a table. And then he hit the table and Jeff Hardy got mad about it, started saying something to the ref. And then somehow Jeff gets pushed into a table. And that's over with. That's what I wish that this would have ended, because then Bobby Roode wins, but then fans are furious because they're like, Jeff Hardy really won, blah, blah, blah. And it could actually set up a three-way match for the person.
Or it just sets up a few down the road, you know, which could be better. Mm-hmm. I do want to say something real quick about tables matches that I absolutely hate. I hate that tables matches for the past 10 years now, 13 years, it's always been just one table. And the thing I really miss, I think it was in WCW back in like 99, 2000, they had, you have to go through three tables, you know, it was best out of five, right? Which made it a little more exciting because you're like, oh, you know, this person's probably going to go through the table now. And so it actually, you had more fun, I think, in the match, you know, and I kind of miss those. I would love to see a two out of three, you know, tables, you know, but hey, anyway, tangent. Andy, Magnus defeated Kurt Angle in a last man standing match. So Magnus taking on Jeff Hardy. What do you think?
Here's one of those things. All right. Magnus is okay, but I don't think he's getting over with a crowd anymore. I actually believe that the crowd is just saying, hey, there's Magnus. And we're supposed to think that he's so awesome and stuff. But it's one of those things, dude. I could care less. I'm just not a Magnus fan anymore. At one point I was, but I think that they're pushing him wrong. And I'm wondering if maybe he just seems to be keeps getting cockier. Like he's like, oh, you know, I'm so much better than most of these people. Kind of like probably how Mystico was backstage with WWE. And I hope that he's not getting too big of a head, because if he does, then, you know, I think he'll fail, but we'll see.
So Magnus is young. He's 26 years old or so. He has the look by, you know, the face. He has the body. He can cut decent promos. He's okay in the ring. You know, he is the prototypical wrestler. You know, he really is. And he's 26. He is 26 years old. He is going to be around for the next 14 years. You want to talk about having somebody be the face of your company? Magnus is your guy, plain and simple. So, you know, Magnus defeating Angle, and also he defeated Kurt Angle. That's a pretty big deal.
In a last man standing match.
Yeah. And then the week, the round before, he beat Samoa Joe. And now he's going to take on Jeff Hardy. So, you know, when you think about it, I think that if he wins, this is the guy who defeated three of your best wrestlers in the company. Hands down.
Yeah, so
and not just in your company, in the world.
Well, that's the
three
thing.
Three of the best wrestlers in the world.
Well, where's AJ Styles?
We'll find out soon.
Soon enough, we will find out what's going on with them. Now, this thing is really weird, the situation with Gunner and Storm. Gunner throws the towel in again to save James Storm, quote unquote. I couldn't tell if it was because someone was trying to pop his eyeball out of the socket or what, but, you know. So why did he throw the towel in, though?
So Gunner and Storm are a tag team who they won the tag titles a few months back, and then, you know, most recently they lost it to Bromans, which just really whatever. But Gunner was taking on James Storm took on Robert Roode, and in the match Roode just gave it to Storm, just really beat the crap out of him. Gunner came down and saved him by throwing in the towel. Storm wasn't happy about that. And then this past week, Gunner didn't save Storm when he was getting pinned. You know, it was a roll-up. He's like, you were right there. Why didn't you save me? Little peeved about that. Gets DQ'd this week. Gunner and Storm are going to be on a collision course. My question to you is this going to help elevate Gunner? Is it going to help elevate Storm? What's going to happen?
Well, they're starting to push Storm a little bit more. And it's more for the simple fact that he's actually got his own reality series, so it's going to be him with a bar. And I'm wondering if they're doing it just to promote him, because Gunner, he's a throwaway wrestler. Let's just call it the way it is. He can be replaced by pretty much anybody. He's just a big guy with a big beard that he's basically Matt Morgan, mini Matt Morgan. I guess my whole thing with this is that it's going to end up being Storm on top. It's not going to help Gunner at all. It's actually going to hurt him.
Okay.
But that's just my, opinion on that situation. I mean, what are your thoughts? I don't think you explained, you know, if that'll help Gunner or if it'll help Storm.
I think that depending on the route that they're going to go with this, they should elevate Storm more. Gunner, as you mentioned, is kind of a throwaway wrestler. I actually liked him in this role a lot more, because I think that Storm helped show off some of his better characteristics. Whereas when Gunner was just by himself or with Immortal or whatever dumb thing they had him with, he was just he was useless. He really was. He was a dumb character, and he's a lot better now. And I think that he could be a pretty decent wrestler, if you put him in the right program. But he is not going to be your main eventer. He's not going to be one of your star attractions. You know, he's going to be in that mid-card, lower mid-card range. You know, you use him as an enhancement talent. In my opinion, you have Storm come out on top with this. And that is what I would do with it.
Yeah, I do agree. So, no weekly topic this week. We're going to call it a short show. So, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.